Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
Welcome to Soul Tree Radio of the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Wilson, DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it is good to be with you. Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, proudly presented by BASNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right here, right now, at www.BASNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network who will join us soon. And a special shout out to all the skaters out there, because we know what it's like to skate. And especially for those who think they skated with something or skated and got away with something, karma always catches up with your ass. I'll leave it at that for now. Anyway, riding shotgun with me, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G? Gary, are you there? What's going on, G?
There we go. I had a mute button on. Can we all say global warming? Today it was 90 degrees in California.
Yep.
We're going to get 110 tomorrow.
Wow.
Luckily, I live on the coast. And the coast will be about 20 degrees different.
That's impressive, but still. 90 degrees where it's cool, it's still hot.
Yeah, all the people that don't know about global warming, you all better get a clue.
This is true. Now, I could say I'm working on my suntan, but I'm brown all year round all the way down, so that's not the case. But
Michael,
right now,
also, I want to talk about the All-Star game.
I hate those damn pajamas.
Don't get me started. But there is a trend going on in baseball I don't like. And that trend is to limit African American players. Meanwhile, you have gazillion Latino players. Latino pitcher won the game. Latino hit a home run. Latino player was starting the game. I ain't mad at him, but the way baseball is going, it's not a good sign.
Well, Garrett, I hear what you're saying, but you know, you got to remember, they're sort of gonna, for lack of a better word, they're gonna play the hot hand, or what you know, what the thing is. Now, did you see the list that they sent out for the top 10 selling jerseys in the sport?
Yeah.
How many of those guys were Latino or non-white?
Yeah.
No, I'm not now. Major League Baseball, for all the bad things that they do, they're not going to tell somebody who they want to spend their money on or what have you. They're going
right.
to go by. They're going to go by the fan base. They're going to go by, you know, what's you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to sort of go with the hot hand. Now, I'll say this. Now, remember when we were growing up, the National League dominated the All-Star game. Exactly. But you notice now the American League has dominated, and it's because of Black and Hispanic players.
And Latino players, yes.
Now that's just with the way, look, we all know the whole deal with, you know, with the numbers with African Americans and everything like that. We can blame baseball for a lot of stuff. We can blame them for, my biggest pet peeve with the last two All-Star games is we all grew up watching guys wear their actual jerseys. The thing about the All-Star, my overall point is I understand your frustration, but I can't blame that on baseball. That's just the natural progression of where the sport is right now. Right now, Hispanic ball players dominate this game. And it's no real conspiracy or anything like that. It's just the natural progression of where the game is now. Mm-hmm. Now, all of us here want to see more Black and brown faces in the sport.
Yeah.
And on a given night, it can be very, very, very frustrating. We're going to have to, in a sense, not settle, but we're going to have to sort of take little victories over the years. Now, for those who don't know, we're in the midst of doing a series on the Black Aces, which celebrates the great 20-game winners from back in the day. Think of the four current African American pitchers in Major League Baseball right now. Two of those four are all stars.
Yep.
You know, so it's little things like that. I don't know if you stayed up the other night to watch the HBCU Jumpman Classic, which was one of the brainchilds of Ken Griffey Jr. You know, great event. They had a nice, you also had Dave Sims and Harold Reynolds broadcast the game on MLB Network.
Mm-hmm.
I say all that, and look, you know, when Major League Baseball messes something up, we're all there to make sure that we kick them in the ass when we mess up.
Right.
Now, there's certain things that Major League Baseball, we can't blame on Major League Baseball right now. I think, let's put it this way. The hardest thing that we're going to have to go through as Black baseball fans is waiting. Because when we grew up watching the sport that we loved, there was always somebody, a bunch of folks that we could identify with on a certain thing. We're not able to do that now. And it hurts. It hurts a lot if you've been watching the game as long all of us have over the years. One of the things I've always said over the years, good, bad, and indifferent, I love baseball, but unfortunately, in some instances, baseball don't love me back, and it makes it very, very tough. But I do see little signs that things are turning around. Let's put it this way. Even if we got back to the numbers of when we were growing up to watch the game, there's still going to be more playing basketball. There's still going to be more playing football. That's a battle we're never going to win. I don't say that as a give up. I just say that as just a reality thing.
Well, Tony, in 1970, between 70 and 75, there were only two new teams. That was the Montreal Expos and
San Diego Padres.
Yeah, well, what was the American League team?
There wasn't any. You got to remember, the Mets, Colt 45s, the new
yeah,
and improved,
it was 61.
The quote unquote new and improved Washington Senators,
yes.
And the LA Angels. That was the
right.
Early expansion. Now in 65, the Braves moved from Milwaukee to Atlanta, and then subsequently,
yep.
The Kansas City A's moved and became the Oakland A's. And then in 1969, you had the Expos Padres. The
right.
Next expansion didn't come until 1977 when you had the Blue Jays and the Mariners. And then you had to go
right.
almost another almost 20 years before that to add the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And again, the thing is, like I said, and look, I am not here. You know, I am not here to be an apologist for baseball.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
But there are certain realities that we have to that we have to deal with. I hate it just as much as you do, but it's the sort of thing where I find myself, watching. I'm Major League Ball every night, but I also find myself watching more Little League in my area. I watch a lot more HBCU.
I was KBL, because it comes out 1 o'clock here.
Sure. I did. When the lockout was going on, I watched it as well. I didn't get up 4 in the morning. I caught the I would always catch the replay. But see, I have to have my ugly sleep. Hell, I didn't even when the Mets opened the season a few years back over in Japan, I was like, I will catch the replay, y'all. I'm sorry. I just can't. And even starting the whole that's another 2 hour conversation in and of itself. Where they start the season overseas, it looks like they've shied away from that now. Thank goodness, and they do it.
I think
even they realize that. Wait a minute. You can see the biggest problem. I think for me, and I think again, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I hate when baseball talks tradition 1 minute. And then
go do that. Yes.
The whole thing of the whole, the pajamas on the field and all the other stuff, that's a money grab. But see, it just shows me that they're not even paying attention, because on that same day, you're looking at every one of the most identifiable players in all of baseball are all in the top 10 in jersey sales. So what does that tell you? You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Hey, they see those jerseys of the certain teams, they identify. So in our All-Star game, we're going to take those jerseys off and have them try to buy another jersey.
That's dumb. That's true.
It just lets you know that the left hand has told the right hand to go to hell, basically, and vice versa. And to me, those are the stupid things that when baseball does that shoots itself in the foot, and then you wonder why why the sport struggles on and off. And see, the other thing is, and I don't want to, you know, go into too long of a rant, but you got to understand also that the baseball fans of back in the day, and I don't mean to be morbid or anything like that, but baseball's loyal fan base has been slowly dying out over the past few years.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, I think of folks like our fathers and our grandfathers and our uncles and whatever.
Yep.
They're no longer with us, and these were folks that would watch baseball even when they hated it.
Yep.
Even when they hated it, they still watched. And you don't have that fan base. The fan base now is bastardized to the point of they're either there for fantasy baseball, they're either there to bet, which is basically sort of the same sort of thing.
But doing baseball kicks himself in the butt by doing stupid things. Like if you have a baseball game and a World Series at 8 o'clock at night, or 8 o'clock at night, what 8-year-old gonna do and watch that game? You're not gonna do it.
But you get, yeah. I understand that. I think, you know, but the thing is, that's the only way that they can compete. That's the only way that they can compete. You know, I mean, let's put it this way. Would I like to see the games be played in the afternoon again? Sure. But I also know that if you think the ratings are bad now, you wait until they put them games on in the afternoon. There'll be test patterns that will get higher ratings.
Exactly.
Now, would I like to see them start maybe? And look, I'm biased because I'm on the East Coast, and y'all are 3 hours behind civilization. No offense. But I mean, put it this way, if they were start up at, like, say, 7:30 or 7:45. There should be sort of a compromise somewhere in there. Even Sunday night football starts at 8:20. You know?
And
we're all old enough to remember when Monday night football used to be on at 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yes. But Tony,
you're assuming that their product is that much in demand. You know, I should first say that tonight's show is sponsored by the letter K, as in strikeout, or as in kiss my black ass. Baseball still has a lot to learn. You know?
Yeah.
As Professor Fried and Patrick Farrar in the mix, I have to bring this up because Gary has done a great job in highlighting the black aces. You know, marketing is an important part of the process. And when a black pitcher was playing back in the day, it seems like they got it quicker than a black position player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Ferguson Jenkins or Doc Ellis or whatever, it seemed like they made it up to, like, let's get them up immediately, J.R. Richard. Let's get them up immediately. You did not languish in the minors. They put your black ass on the mound. I would have to say an integral part of this, which is not even brought up, is the fact that you have to be a complete player as a pitcher. That means you bat your position. I can't think of that many pitchers that were good hitters. I'm going over this with Tony briefly, but I think probably one of the best hitters ever was Doc Gooden, because he was like a career 273 hitter, and he hit from his odd side. if he had hit from his regular side, other than somebody trying to plunk him on the arm, he'd have been easily a 300 hitter. Because Doc, look what he knew what he was doing when he was up there. But I digress.
Mike, mm-hmm. I have to step in. Good evening, everybody. First of all, you cannot for batting as pitchers. We're known as a hitting pitcher. A guy named Dom Newcombe, the Dodgers.
Yes, yep.
Was scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He had two runs the first 2 years he was up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's that Negro League training, because you find that a lot of your former Negro Leaguers who also pitched, most of them were also damn good hitters too.
And some of them actually played other positions. But
absolutely.
Gentlemen, the thing that I keep getting back to when people just want to discuss blacks of the Negroid persuasion as being from the United States, born and raised here. To me, in my humble opinion, Major League Baseball has done nothing or pretty near nothing to combat one simple line. I want to be like Mike. They still ain't got over that.
True.
You got kids running around here with $90 to $120 shoes who can't walk through bubble gum and piss on it and piss on the ground straight. And we know that a lot of baseball players are agile and all that. But you can work with a kid. You can't make him 6 feet tall. And in today's basketball arena, if you ain't, you ain't. But you can play just about any position. Except you can play just about any position as a rule, other than first base. And then there's some, you know, I remember two or three guys who were pretty good first basemen who in that kind of say,
okay,
5'11", 6'1" range. Not all of them were, you know, 6'5", 6'8".
Right.
And we have a whole, and baseball has done nothing to get those kids back, nor has it, at least not from the black side. And the white side, I think they're probably still doing it, because a lot of those kids figured a long time ago, well, I can go, you know, I might get beat out in basketball, but I can always go play baseball.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, and they're, like I said, they're doing nothing or near nothing to recapture them. Those players, which means they're not doing anything of true substance to recapture that market that they used to have hard watch on. So,
and Fred, let me add to what you're saying here. You're 100% correct in terms of its purpose. They are doing some things. They are doing some things. However, the issue is, like you're saying, it doesn't have the impact it should have with what they're putting out. All I'll say is this, in regards to what I put together for my piece I was doing on baseball, is this. One thing about baseball, as opposed to basketball, football, is the fact that in basketball and football, even though you have to learn the game technically, there's a personal footprint and stamp that you can put on with your personality and your athleticism and your purpose. Baseball doesn't have that. You have to play within the rules. And now it's getting a little more personal now. It has to. Give a perfect example. That kid, Ali De La Cruz of the Reds, I'll pay to see him tomorrow because he's enjoying himself. In the past, you know, guys couldn't look at anybody, and they still have those unmarked rules. You shouldn't do. You shouldn't.
Yeah, the unwritten rules.
Yeah. But But all those things are the positive for basketball and football. Your game and what you can express yourself and how you play and put your first step on it. In baseball, we don't do is catch the ball right. If we don't do things in a specific way, you can't do it. And that's not really what Fred was saying. That's not really what kids are doing today. They want to express themselves, and also they want to express themselves with something that they can project, like clothes and sneakers, to say that they're
right. And you know what, but Pat, another thing also, to piggyback on what Fred said, the one thing I always felt baseball really dropped the ball on, in a sense, when Michael, and however you feel he was doing it for, whether you think he was doing it to cover the gambling thing, whether you think he was doing it for his dad or what have you. Here was the most identifiable athlete, if not in at least the United States, possibly the world. And right. Instead, and if you remember the initial reaction to when he decided to play baseball. We all know the famous Sports Illustrated, give it up, Mike. And he basically told Sports Illustrated SI what they could do pretty much afterwards. But you would think that the sport would say, here's the most identifiable athlete in the world, and he wants to play our sport. But right. No, instead, they fall back. This is the ultimate falling back on their whiteness, and you had people literally lining up against each other saying, oh, he's not going to do this. He's not going to be that. He's not going to be whatever and all that other stuff and everything. And, when he was struggling early on and whatever, people were literally like, people were like literally doing the cabbage patch, seeing them do the team. Something weird happened along the way.
Tony, can I add something to that, Tony?
Sure.
You made something to that, Tony? I know that the impact of that up front and personal in the Nets front office, they weren't happy because we lost a lot of money throughout the league when he wasn't playing. And I guarantee you, and being involved in meeting and people I know in the media, you don't think some of that was behind the league with some of these writers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, even though it was from a quote-unquote fictional movie,
source.
I will never forget the Robert Duvall character in The Natural. In a sense, he was a conglomerate of all those old baseball writers Dick Youngs, the Bill Collins, the Marty Nobles, or what have you. He was a conglomerate of all of those guys, and in a sense, that was like we can dictate whether you're going to be good or whether you're going to be bad. Now, the funny thing that they don't tell you about Mike, yes, the first full season in Birmingham, I believe he finished hitting .220. Now,
right.
He did wind up now the second half of the year, he was hitting on average at .250 or so. He had a couple of home runs, whatever. But see, here's the thing they forget to tell you. He went to the Arizona Fall League that offseason and played for the White Sox Arizona Fall League affiliate. And he hit .275. Now, that's not Tony Gwynn. That's not Rod Carew. That's not Lyman Bostock. That's not George Brett or what have you. But considering the fact of who he was and all the odds against him, and again, however you feel about his reasons for going to play ball or the whole thing behind it or what have you, the guy went out and basically worked on his craft. Because, see, all we kept hearing was, oh, he's taking jobs away from, he's taking jobs away from football, from other baseball players, what have you. But, see, the funny thing is, again, I always tell this to folks, do you remember any players either on his team or other players within the fans, well, I think it's a stupid thing because he's taking away a job. He's taking away jobs. So that was always media folks and all that other stuff. It's like the Barry Bonds thing. For all the stuff and whatever they talk about Barry Bonds, there's only a handful of either current teammates and former adversaries that really talk shit against him. Most teammates whose name wasn't Jeff Kent, they looked at him as a mentor. Remember, he served as the batting instructor for the Marlins for a brief period of time. The thing I bring it all full circle. Instead of embracing Michael, they went out of their way to be like, it was almost like a, how dare you come play our sport? Instead of embracing the fact that the world's most identifiable athlete wants to play your sport, and again, I'm not saying he needs to kiss his ass or anything like that, but just look at it, but take the, you know, take that, the glass half full thing of like, wow, that's how popular we are.
And Tony,
even the most identifiable player in all of sports wants to play our game. And they could have parlayed that into, like what Fred said, playing the whole be like Mike thing. But instead, they gave him his ass. They gave the sport collectively gave them their ass to kiss, and then were surprised when they got the reaction that they did.
Two things, Tony. Everything you say is on point. Let me give it the juxtaposition of that. The most ballyhooed and best college football player ever, Tim Tebow, played baseball.
Very, very badly, thank you, but he played.
Did Tim Tebow ever bat over 225? I mean,
hell no.
If Jordan went to Winter League and bat 272, I've seen players now in the majors batting 180, 210 going, you in the league?
And Patrick, you're watching too many Mets games because they're all of them. And I digress.
But Patrick, you know, you hit on something.
In both leagues that are not hitting too much. If they hit 250, they're lucky.
Man, here's all you need to know about modern baseball. And yeah, if it sounds like I'm kicking the Yankees in the nuts, so be it. Josh Donaldson on the season has, I believe, 16 hits. 10 of them are home runs.
Yeah.
Why in God's name does that man still get a major league salary?
No.
Josh Donaldson is a former MVP. He might have played minor league ball down in Kakalaki at one point, but no, this is a guy that's been in the league for quite. You know, he's an established veteran. He's won, you know, played in the playoffs, World Series. He's won an MVP. He's a great player. But, you know, he should be given a mercy kill at this point in time right now in his career. He's basically a skinnier version of Daniel Vogelback. I'll just leave it at that.
And Tony, which is indicative to a person I know all my life who's a diehard Yankee fan, because of the Yankee fans, like every Yankees every day. Why don't they play a different kind of game? But Yankees, I try to tell this knucklehead, I call him something else, but you know, my lady in the other room.
I got you.
The Yankees are built on analytics and the long ball. They're not building a short game.
If a guy has 10 home runs, what did you say?
Why is he in the league? It's built on home runs because what does home runs do? I can tell him, Gary. I said, if you Filippo, not Gary here. I tell Gary, chicks dig the long ball. It sells tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's on the damn, but again, what's the way getting a home run? I say, no, they're not playing, you know, a black baseball where you move base to base and maybe a home run in between.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing, to just to further that, the main reason why Bob Boone's uglier son still has a job is basically because, like you said, he was willing to do the analytics. The reason why Joe Girardi is behind a microphone right now is because he can't, you know, he was like Yosemite Sam and New England Boil of Coconuts. He can't stand analytics. And what's funny is the alternate manager who was so much against analytics just won the World Series. Dusty can't stand analytics. Now he'll use it, whatever, but he's not going to be a slave to it. See, my big, it's this way. I think, you know, I know I'm reaching out when I say this, but I think I can say it with some confidence. I think I can speak for all of us here. Analytics in and of itself, I don't have a problem with. But
right. When
you make it all, when you make your entire evaluation and how you run your team on analytics,
Tony, it's a big difference. It's a big difference when you're the most popular sport than being fifth in a four sport race. Baseball has been grasping at straws for anything.
Yeah. And even with the new rules this year, which I like. I mean, you know, if you want to put used Domino speaker boxes on the faces, it's all right by me, man. I got no problems with it. But see, so many of the things that they're implementing, in a sense, have already been on the books. They just haven't. They just getting around to enforcing it. When they went vault crazy years ago, that's been on the books. To a certain extent, there's already been sort of a pitching clock, but because the game is slow and what have you, and you've got all these fat ass incompetent umpires. Because here's the thing, guys. If and when they do go to the robo umps, it's going to get worse.
Oh yes.
It's going to get worse. Put it this way.
Yes.
There's going to be a point where we're actually going to be missed. Where we're going to be like, God, I wish I could see Angel Hernandez do the game tonight.
or you're going to be cussing big time. Or worse than you cussing him.
Yeah, that's me. But yeah, it's so fixable. And oh, by the way, as I'm speaking, the thing just moved. The Dodgers and Padres are gonna open the season in Seoul, South Korea next year.
South Korea, yeah. I know about that. Okay.
Okay, now my question is, they're going to take baseball to Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that a way they're going to use speaking soldiers to fight the North Koreans, or just what's the purpose behind it? I know that's sarcastic.
I go back to
something that was said some years ago when they were talking about expanding baseball. You're building a tower of baseball on the Caribbean, Europe, every other continent, and right here on the North American continent, you got all these black kids.
I agree.
Again, trying to be like Mike, and they're doing next to nothing to mine all that gold. Because again, you get a kid that's 5'9", 6'1", 6'2", with just a basic agility, you can make a good baseball player out of him, because so much of that is about explosion anyway. He don't have to run the 40 in 4.6. He can run the 40 in 5.0 or better or higher. Mm-hmm. He'd still be a good baseball player. Mm-hmm. But no. They use analytics to keep those kids out who are from the hood, but then you get a white boy from the farm, that's all he does.
Fred, let me add to what you're saying, Fred, okay? I was talking about this lecture with my some interns today. I was talking about their eyes. And one of my eyes, I said, because you blink at a rate of that higher than we blink when we were coming up. They think differently. They think quicker. They have no patience. Baseball, you have to be patient. Kids are not geared toward that. Which is a problem.
Yeah, you're right about that.
What you're saying, Fred, which is what you're saying, Fred, that they don't get kids to understand what patience is about through the game. They don't. I can play a basketball game quicker, and you can't play. I agree with you 100%. The guys, I talked about the young man in the school we're in who's 6'7", can't play with a lick, but he's trying to be a terrific pitcher, and he's 6'6". Well, son, that might be your way to do something. But his daddy, who was out of his freaking mind, thinks he's a ball player, and he ain't.
Oh, God. Hey, guys,
I told
my life story several times. Growing up, I wanted to either be replace the fat guy from the fifth dimension or become the next Bob Gibson.
You got to sing.
I can't sing, and my best fastball still hasn't come down from the one that I threw in high school. So.
I have a nephew who was, I guess you'd say Dave Winfield will probably kind of what he looked like. He can, don't get me wrong, he could play basketball because I told him how to rebound. But, you know, after two or three times up and down the court, but he could play, he could pitch a little bit. But he can literally play all three outfield positions.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
All three. And guess what? His best friends play basketball.
Hoops. Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's what he wants to do. In a couple of cases,
they were actually better than him. But he was he would always play that supportive role. You need a rebound. I get them. I'll trigger the break. You all run down the court. Okay? you know, and if you heard him tell it, he would have you laying on the floor. But, you know, his one regret to this day, he didn't stick with baseball. He could, you know, and see, he came along when these coaches high school basketball coaches were becoming God juniors of the world. Mm-hmm. And in the process, they were weeding out a lot of kids who could have played baseball, run track, or whatever. But no, you know.
And Professor, there's one facet that's being missed. The athletic explosions that are required in baseball and how they stand out juxtaposed to other sports. I cite as my reference Bo Jackson. When Bo Jackson played for Kansas City and Chicago, there were some things he did that made people go, what the fuck?
What the hell?
When he played for the Royals, he snagged a fly ball in deep outfield.
It was up the wall.
Ran up the wall like Spider-Man. And they were like, holy shit, we didn't think about doing that. And then Ken Griffey did it a couple of years later, but it was something that wasn't thought about. And the hitting, we know that's a whole other story. Bo Jackson breaking the bat in half, that messed everybody up. All the power hitters who thought they were a little bit about something, Bo Jackson shook their world with one broken bat. And when he became a Chicago White Sox, the stores were selling this stuff like hotcakes. Mm-hmm. And this is a baseball player, a supposed baseball player, who's also playing football. I mean, others have done it before, but very few did it as well as Bo Jackson. And maybe a modern-day two-sports star who also played baseball will help the process. But it's a long time
in today's environment, you're not likely to have a two-sport because, again,
right.
Football coaches are football guys. Basketball coaches right. are basketball guys.
That's just part of it. Part of it.
Baseball or track and field. And guess what?
Uh-huh.
The real damning problem is between all these travel leagues and stuff and dumbass parents, the kid doesn't stand a chance. I mean, I'm in the middle of it, and I see between my neighborhood, my family, and just friends at church. You know, I watch this one kid. His dad is one of those coaches, and he will probably make a decent point guard. Who they're trying to get him to be, because he's quit growing. My nephew is 6'7" or 6'8", whatever it is. But this young man hadn't grown in 2 years. He's 14 or 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's still there. And see, I see him standing beside his mom.
Okay.
Even when he got his hair fluffed up, he's her height plus an inch or two. And his dad just insisted to go. You know, he was gone this past 2 weeks. To whatever that term my nephew's in. And he can't, you know, he can't dunk. He can't, you know, there's just this whole litany of things he cannot do. He does this because his dad wants him to. But you talk to him, he's not all that interested in basketball.
That's always how it is. You know,
but it's true about athletic explosions because after Bo Jackson did what he did, I saw one player do stuff that was a la Bo, and that was Jim Edmonds. I saw him in the minors, and I saw him in the pros. Jim Edmonds outfield fielding was no joke. He stole the
greatest kick I've ever seen in my life is Edmonds with that kick.
He made unbelievable plays.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yes, he did.
Greatest kick I've ever seen.
He played outfield.
One other factor about baseball for young people, young boys have a problem with, and they are afraid of. Ain't no girls coming to watch them.
That Heather Locklear commercial is at least 20 years old now, right? It's been a while. It's been a long time.
If he makes some money, he might come see him. But they ain't gonna see him in minor leagues. You know that.
No. And it's this way. One of the big, you know, no disrespect to Bull Durham, but ain't nobody hanging out in the minor leagues looking like Susan Sarandon. I'm sorry.
Unless it's
the current Susan Sarandon now, who's about 155 years old.
Yeah. And looks at 200. Yeah. See, Mike, you want to get into the hottest story of the day?
Oh, please.
I can only surmise it because I got to give the mouse was a rat today. He was fierce.
Uh-oh.
And talking about and coming, which we've talked about in the past, the John Gruden saga.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother.
That's right.
It's about a 30-page read, but I can't go into all the details, but brother.
Patrick, is it safe to say that John Gruden is now the white Nino Brown?
Yeah. Here's the twist of the story, man.
I'll bring everybody.
Here's the twist of the story.
Mm-hmm.
John Gruden actually is a scapegoat.
Yep.
I said he ain't the only one. He's a scapegoat.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll put it without going into a lot of details. There were leaks that were made that Goodell knew about before October.
Yep.
The trick was, now, which we found out, and it's solidified by three different sources, that Snyder had set up, recall when Snyder got suspended for the year, you know, for the harassment of the female employees. But see, you're going to be suspended for 10 months, and you're going to pay $150 fine. What, make a long story short, was another guy named Joe Tricapana. You know who he is? The same lawyer of Donald Trump.
Uh-oh.
The same lawyer as Donald Trump. They put together what is called a blackmail PowerPoint. What they did, they had information, plays, and emails, particularly emails and executives, that they presented to Roger Goodell.
Yep.
And they told Roger Goodell, if you mess with him, now the representative matter now, we're going to let them all out. Well, make a long story short, behind the scenes, Daniel Snyder was manipulating the whole thing. Now, we all know he needed help, okay? We all know what happened to Kaepernick, and all of a sudden, here comes Jay-Z.
Right.
Now, Jay-Z comes in to help out who? Roger Goodell, because there's so much going on, bad PR about the league. He brings in Jay-Z and a woman named Denise Perez.
Yeah.
Now, Denise Perez is the CEO of what? Rod Nation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Make a long story short, she gets in with some of Daniel Snyder's people. All right? They find out information, whole nine yards, but they have this PowerPoint that has the NFL by the balls.
Oh my God! The invisible man got the notices.
Now they had. Make a long story short. I'm not going to get too details. Make a long story short. Roger Goodell is pissed off because they know. Like on one hand, they got Gruden. Other hand, here comes they're trying to get over Kaepernick and what that happened. So they bring Jay-Z in. What Jay-Z does, Jay-Z, now this woman is Jay-Z's CEO of his company. She's trying to help Roger down the other end try to fix the problem. Now, initially they got $25 million. Now, what happened?
Wow.
And here's what happened. $25 million for social justice, which is now turning into $250 million because what it did, it took away from the heat of Kaepernick for the halftime shows, and the halftime shows have made money. As a matter of fact, what's her name? Rihanna? She's your 1.8 billion people. That's money, money, money. All right?
She sure did.
And now, even though I like halftime, but like Fred was talking about earlier about appeal, that appeals to a young audience that wants to see the halftime. They might watch some football too. All right? But make a long story short, and I'll cut it here. Somebody got a hold of 650,000 emails. All right? Well, here's what they're not telling you. All this was being manipulated by Snyder to get back into the league. It would have gone well until Snyder started saying, well, I'm going to get back in the league because Goodell had banned him from the meetings, but he couldn't ban him. He's supposed to ban him from the stadium, but he's still going to the games, but he's not going down the field. He wanted to go down the field, and it was said that if Snyder would have kept his mouth shut and laid back and waited till the season's over, he could have beat it all. But because his balls got big, he decided to kind of smear Roger Goodell. So what the Roger Goodell people do? A leak comes out from a Wall Street Journal about who? John Gruden. And John Gruden's boys. And
so
the rest is history. I'll end on this. When they had that congressional meeting, that's when it was supposed to be clearing up. But within the congressional meeting, you know, he had a lot of senators that didn't like Daniel Snyder. Let's look at this. That's when they came out with the woman being harassed, and the gay piece comes out and about, you know, the homophobic pieces. And last thing, you know, our friend DeMora Smith was supposed to be left out of the
new man. Oh yeah,
on his fourth term. He's about to leave and lose it. But when Gruden came out and talked about a big lip Negro, basically, said that embarrassed the league. They were able to. It was 7-7, and going to put this white guy to take his place. He got the one vote to stay in for another year. Now people are saying that he knew about the leaks, Gennaro knew about the leaks, but they don't specifically know. But we know this much: Daniel Snyder was behind putting the leaks out that basically got him.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you got billionaires being told what to do by a millionaire. It ain't gonna work. For whatever Roger Goodell has earned through salary and stroke, he's still the help. And they're like, don't tell us what to do. At least Snyder's saying that. And when you wear $5 billion, exactly. So they're not going to waste time with that. And that upsets the apple cart. You can't conduct business when you got rogue action going on in the place. Professor, what sayest thou?
That's really an interesting perspective. You know, we have used this term. I still go back to that term again. Some people play chess. Some people play checkers.
Right.
And the thing you look at when you look at billionaires, they shoot marble with boulders. They don't play, you know, like we do. You know, the little parts in your pocket. You know, you got your steel. No, these guys come in with boulders. They don't. They, you know, I'm watching something on over in the morning, and I see this guy. He's going out to get on his private jet to go to a meeting. He has to be in wherever he was going by 7 o'clock. He would have had to leave yesterday, like for instance, like tomorrow night, about this time, tomorrow night I will be here in Texas. Okay, I got to go to Raleigh, catch a flight. We'll go, I think we jump to Charlotte, and from Charlotte we go cross country. Can you imagine what it takes in manpower and brain power to generate all these there's just sort of thousands into millions, and then, you know, what is it, a billion is a million? These guys got and everything else is different from some quote normal people, but at the same time there's a side of them or part of them that is just down to earth, good old boys, as we call it. I will never forget being watching this guy trying to take a shot at Richard Petty, and he says, all those college boys got Grand Prix and all this kind of stuff, but we country boys have been in drafting. We and most of us barely got out of high school.
Yeah.
You see, that's the kind of stuff you got to look at when you look at this kind of situation. You know, you at the very least, I don't care what you think about them, you got to remember, at least there is a positive side even if they just become, if they are actually a bunch of assholes. And we have found that throughout history. There's a lot of people that are rich because they make the right connections and all those kind of things. And some things they put together themselves, some things they buy.
Right.
But on a good day, you know, they make the right move. They look, hey, that one move. You mentioned Bo Jackson. Remember when Bo Jackson was running that sweep to the right, and about 10 guys from the other team jumped in front of him?
Yeah.
What does he do? Plant, pivot out the back door.
You sure
do. You know, those kind of things, you know, we look at this, that gives us, that's the, y'all say I do the money perspective, that's the money perspective. Because no matter what you think of them, at some point in time, they rise to the occasion.
And this whole thing is about with Gruden. By the way, Gruden's case is going through. It's passed every motion so far.
Yeah.
And the state of Nevada, now, they're going, it's scheduled to go to the Supreme Court ruling in, later on this year. That's going to be interesting. The NFL is trying to kill it, trying to negotiate. They said, I ain't negotiating nothing. Gruden said, I want some satisfaction because what was leaked should not have been leaked. Even though it was a leak, it was leaked by Dan Snyder for his own benefit, and I had to pay the price.
Yeah.
I was a bad boy, even though they did mess with me. But it's really about two things, power and money.
Yeah. You know, Gary, I want to focus on your Black Aces piece and get back again. Now, Patrick mentioned Don Newcomb. I mentioned Doc Gooden. Do you have an example of a Black pitcher just as decent with the bat as he was with his arms?
Repeat that again.
Give me an example of a Black pitcher who was a great hitter.
Well, you said Doc. Doc Gooden, Newcomb.
Yeah.
Oh, Mudcat Grant. He
wasn't bad hitter at all.
Oh, okay.
And Bob Jackson could have been better if he wanted to be.
Doc Ellis.
Lewis,
Doc Ellis, yes.
Lewis Diaz was a good hitter.
Uh-huh. Professor, oftentimes the pitcher was always looked at as a liability once he got to the plate. But who struck you as confident when they got in the batter's box that they would be able to do something with the bat? Are you there, Professor?
Like I said, Doc Ellis was always, I'll call him a pretty decent hitter, because remember doing that championship run, there was no easy out of the top nine players, especially the day the day they put the nine Blacks on the field together. But even though if you had this because of the Parker was. I can't remember the two white guys' name. I think one played left field and one played infield.
Bob Robertson. And Fred,
on that Pittsburgh team, Ken Laria, Puerto Rican dude, he was a good hitter too. The big candy man.
Who's that?
Candy man.
Candelaria?
That's right.
John Candelaria was a better hitter than Doc Ellis. And hit the power.
Because
on several occasions, Candelaria hit pinch hit.
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah. I think Steve Mathews was a good hitter because he did very well. In the California league, he did very well. But because of the DH, he can't change the show in the American League.
Uh-huh. Fellas, I got to let you know that our power here is flickering on and off. So I'm going to have to shorten this and go to final thoughts. Patrick, before we hit total blackout, give me something for the pop.
Well, I started reading on the All-Star game this weekend. A black softball group won a nice piece of publicity, but also the HBCU baseball game, which I've just started, got a young man from Bethune-Cookman that got drafted. He was 248, but he got drafted. And there are some promising things that Ken Griffey Jr. and some other people want to do for they're going to do it for HBCU schools because there's untapped talent. That's something that needs to be looked at.
Right on. Professor, come on with
it. Well, speaking of baseball, if we go to Bethune-Cookman, you get to solve both the black side and the Hispanic side because
you do.
They have their players are Hispanic. They draw heavily from the islands and from South America.
Yes, they do.
South and Central America. I got to mention earlier, this time tomorrow night I'll be on a plane headed for Texas for our family over this weekend. And
please have fun and go safe.
Unfortunately, our millennials, we haven't properly schooled our millennials, but it was a term for the group from Texas. They wanted to have it this time, and so we decided to go ahead with it because they're not the assholes in Texas. It's the governor. So
yeah, that's true.
We're going to go down and go. And see, that's been home for my sister for 4 years now. We're gonna go down, and then we're doing something for my late brother-in-law. We couldn't do the funeral when we were there last time because of COVID.
Yeah, right.
But we're gonna go down and honor him. But the thing that I keep looking at, is how great HBCUs have been for this country and the world. I just finished putting together a list some bios of 1,000+ HBCU alums. One of the stipulations was coaches and players that are listed among this group are not there for coaching and players playing. It's for what they did off the field, off the court, kind of stuff.
Yep.
And I'll just throw out one name that everybody should, the kind of thing we should know about black colleges. Willie Davis was cut twice by the Browns and then the Packers before he went on to become an All-Pro Hall of Famer. But then after he finished his playing days, he went in the business world and became an All-Pro there too. And there's a number of young men and a couple of ladies who did great things. And this is who the HBCU Heritage Center is going to be highlighting. And these are the people that are going to be putting on display. Along that same line, we're doing the same thing with Lomberg Institute. You'd be amazed at the number of people that we have profiled. Went to high schools, all black high schools back in the day. Slowly but surely, they're being phased out. So we're going to bring honor to them. Matter of fact, we put our first order of bricks in today.
Right on. For more of that, check us out at www.blackheritagereview.com. With the Brett now.
We have that up in about 2 weeks.
There you go. Gary, give me something before the lights go out.
you know, doing this Black Aces thing, something really is bugged out that Louis Dion is a bad brother, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
He was politically correct before anybody else is politically correct.
Uh-huh.
What I mean is this. That Chihuahua on the jersey of the Cleveland Baseball Club. Louis Dion made a definite statement saying, I don't like wearing this uniform.
Yeah.
And he told him why he didn't like to wear this uniform.
Yeah.
Nobody understood it back in 1960. They understand it now because we had the Cleveland Guardians.
There you go.
Remember, Cole, what a thug. Sunday is the OJs, the 4:30
Pacific time. Money.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, for love money.
We want some Akron.
We love the night being turned
yes,
off.
Yes, yes.
We love all that good stuff. You are my sunshine. And
yes, sir.
The
money,
smile
money, money,
face,
money.
The smile on your face, do your change,
yeah.
And take your place back. Well, gentlemen, thank you for keeping the lights on. I got to hit it and quit before they go off.
Sure. Sure. Right. Yeah. Thanks, man. I'll get back at you. The same gentleman that's made the pickup last year is going to make it this year, Mr. Richie Vinto. Vera, I want you to put somebody on him.
All right, sugar.
You got a girl who can turn him out?
I have got a girl whose pussy is so good, if you threw it up in the air, it would turn into sunshine.
Well, I don't want to meet her.
I do.
Richie. I think I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah, give me Hollycourt, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look it, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
Game balls on account of darkness. Everybody go safe, stay safe. We'll speak to you later. Good night.